Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
One alive, one dead, one fictional. It's up to you who you choose, you pick them all. It's up to you who you choose, you pick them all. Who you having? Make it who you wish. This is your dinner party, and it's your guest list.
Hello and welcome to episode 9 of Guest List with Jake Lambert, the podcast where I interview comedians to find out who would be their perfect dinner party guests. But they can only pick 3. One has to be alive, one has to be dead, and one has to be fictional. This week we are joined by Catherine Bohart. Catherine and I sort of started out together, but we've only actually gigged together a handful of times, which we talk about in the podcast. But it's really lovely to catch up with her. She has been putting her own gig on each week online called Gigless, which is from her home, obviously, on Zoom. And she gets acts, great acts, to come on and do sort of 10 minutes. And it's, I think it's only a couple of pounds. And it's so fun to do. I did it a couple of weeks ago and it was really fun. And she's putting on a festival later this month. So if you're missing comedy, then check it out. I'm going to keep this short because it's quite a long episode, so I want to keep it under an hour. And also got vaccinated today, which wasn't expecting it. Got a text last night from my doctors to say that I could go and have it done. No idea why. I went there today and nobody there seemed to know why I had been told to come and get it either. But it was good. Sorry, I shouldn't sound more excited. It's amazing. I've been given the vaccine for this huge virus. But it makes you feel a bit cloudy. That might be coming across here. But luckily for you and Catherine, I hadn't had it before we had this chat. So I'm perfectly fine. Well, you know, better. Enjoy the episode. It's really fun. We had such a good time doing it. And I hope you enjoy listening to my conversation with Catherine Bohart. I was trying to think of the last time we gigged together, but I can honestly only think of late 2017 when we went to Bath Uni for Mark Olver.
Did you drive me there?
Yeah, and we had Nando's afterwards.
Yes, it was lovely. But the best thing about it was we went to get napkins at the service station with the M&S in the service station, and we both removed the top one from the public uses and then took one underneath. I recall, and then had a little, lovely little bond on the way, being like, I never used the first bit of the loo roll. No, me neither.
Exactly. Oh, that's so lovely. And then, because when I go like shopping, I'll always take the second thing, especially if I'm picking up like cereal or sweets, because I just know that a child would have picked it up and asked his mum for it and she would have put it back. So I'm like, well, already two people have touched it. So I always go for like the one behind the cereal. And then that's where we realized this connection.
We realized, yes, we are both mental. Yeah. But also right in every possible way. And no.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, of course.
Well, it turns out, especially now, we were so ahead of the curve.
Oh my gosh. I keep trying to explain to my mom. My mom's like, how's your OCD? And I'm like, well, you know, everything every doctor has been telling me for years is irrational behavior is now government policy. So I'm like, I guess I was right all along. No. And I'm like, yes, I know, but come on, let me have it. Come on.
Antibacterial gel.
Well, yes. I mean,
already, my start of my last edinburgh show we were allowed to do, I would go out and sort of like high five a couple of people on the front row, then pull out my antibacterial gel and do that, and then like carry on with the show. And that would get a laugh. And now that would just be can you also give some to us, please? Well, no one's going to high five me.
That's so true. No one would.
It's
even
so dated.
That's really funny. That's really funny. Oh my God, you can't use your OCD stuff because it looks like hack COVID.
It's gone from being aren't I weird to spot on observations.
Yeah, just exactly. Like,
yes, we all do that. Correct.
Yeah. You're just another guy. This is pretty stark. Let's move on. Yeah.
So yeah, that was what we, and we were at Fernando's because we must have finished so early that we had dinner in the town, city. What is Bath?
Yeah.
City. Lovely place. That's all we know.
Very nice. Lovely Nando's.
Lovely Nando's. That is all we saw of it, but it was lovely.
Really nice. And then we drove home again.
And we discussed everything and everyone. So we repeat a lot of it.
What a surprise. It's like 36 minutes into this and we still haven't started the podcast. I'm like, well, you know, we're a pair of talkers. Yeah, we had a lovely time. But we don't meet together that often.
No, I think it's maybe because we're so similar.
Yeah, that makes sense.
It must be, because especially when I do my Irish act now.
Yeah, that checks out. I mean, you're joking, but also I'm like, anal, like white, effeminate.
Oh, yeah.
Like
we actually are.
Yeah, we're pretty.
That's why.
Both into ladies. I think. I think they're just like we already have a Jake. We can't have Catherine.
Because that is the thing, isn't it? You just don't gig, which is actually terrible for your social life because it means that anybody that you're similar to in any way, if you have the same interest as somebody, you cannot gig together anymore.
No, you won't ever see each other. It's like Zoe Lyons and I couldn't believe last night we were on the same bill. And Zoe was like, wait, so you're on and then I'm on. And I was like, yeah, they didn't even put a straight person between us. We were like, what's going on? I don't understand.
See, that's when the producer needs to think of Jake Lambert.
Right?
It's like a canal boat. You just need something just to balance out to the next bit and then you can just carry on.
Oh, I'll mention you next time. I'll be like, you know what we really need here? But yeah, so...
My next Edinburgh hour will be called Palette Cleanser.
I like it. I don't know that the premise will float everyone's boat. had enough lesbians? Well, come see this straight man. What? Oh, geez. It would be an ardent but small audience. But they'd really be committed to the cause. I think also we have that thing where, you know, we started at the same time and we are at the same level. So it's just such a long time, isn't there, where it's like you're trying to be the open spot.
That's the thing,
and then
yeah.
You're trying to be the middle spot and then you're trying to open in clubs and then you're trying, like, we probably won't ever get to gig together because we're, you know, trying desperately to be in those little spots and there's only one of them on each.
That's true. And I guess, because I think the only time, I think I've just remembered maybe one time we have gigged together since then, which was the Hellfire in Wickham when you were comparing. And I think that will be it if one of us is comparing and one of us is opening. However, I don't know about you, absolutely despise comparing.
Oh, I love it.
Oh my God, if I've left the stage, why do I have to go back on? I'm only ever going to go back on, not for an encore.
Oh, I absolutely love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it so much. If I'm feeling out of sorts, the best thing I can do is compare. Because it's like, it's chatty, it's conversational, it's looking for fun, and I don't have to, and I feel like the pressure is completely off me. Like, I just need to set up a nice room, make sure everyone feels comfortable. It feels like hosting a dinner party. And then...
lovely segue.
Yeah, and then I don't have to, but it's not like on me. Like, I'm not cooking, you know. I'm just the partner who's making cocktails in the living room.
And getting progressively more drunk throughout the evening.
Yeah, exactly. And no one minds because it's too fun.
The good thing and the advice I will give to, there's two bits of advice I'll give to anybody who's comparing, because I can do it and I don't mind it when I'm there. But the idea, I just feel like I'm having to work more than I normally would.
I feel the complete inverse. That's so mad.
How funny.
So mad.
Our different approaches to it. Well, in that case, from now on, if you just get more comparing gigs, we'll get together.
Happy days.
The advice I would give is the amount of times people would come up to you after you've compared and gone, Because the audiences, they do not, unless they're savvy, they do not know that you're a comedian. For some reason, they think that they've brought in some local host to sort of string the evening together, which is why people come up to you afterwards and say, you were really good, you should give that a go as well. So the one good thing is the pressure's completely off. There's no pressure on you. The other comedians will put the pressure on you to say, please make them warm for me. And the audience, you are, well, I guess you are, which is what I should be comparing more, the palate cleanser. Actually, yep. It's actually the role I was born to
it
do.
It almost feels like you're meant to be there. Yeah, exactly.
And the other thing is, when you walk out, look at the audience. Whoever is clapping the loudest, speak to that person. Whoever is trying to make a show of it when you come out and trying to get the attention, that is the time to give that person the attention. You save the other comedians that, from having to deal with him, and it is a him.
Yeah. And unless there's like a really hammered woman, it's usually a him.
And if there's a woman there, look down at her bottle or her glass. If it's rosé, speak to her.
Yeah. It's true, but if it's empty, do not touch the don't. If you've just come out and the bottle's empty, she will be asked to leave before the first break. You don't have to deal with her. You're fine.
You can't check in with her in the second half. She won't be there.
There's no continuity there. No, it's true. Good advice.
Do you host dinner parties?
Yeah, I do. I love cooking.
Oh, do you? Mm-hmm. I imagine you're very good at it. You're very well, particular in everything from taking the second napkin to joke writing.
Yeah, I love it. And I love feeding people. And I love, my mom was always a big dinner party person. Like I think so much of my excitement around dinner parties is still born of like being allowed to go in and say hello to people before you went to bed when they were having a dinner party, and it always looked so glamorous and divine. And so
exactly, yeah. That the lighting, the music, the snacks.
Oh yeah.
The whole day you sort of feel like, as well, in the build up to that, my mum, despite the fact that she would be busy getting everything ready, you're slightly treated because they think you're going to be banished to your room for the evening. So you sort of get quite looked after and you get to sort of help yourself to a couple of snacks. You get the vibe of it. I love it.
Actually, that's so it. And also just like, yeah, and you know, the little symbols of like what was about to come, like more than one glass per person on a table. you know, like a choice about how you were going to put the napkins and where. And I used to set the table for my mom.
Oh, right. Lovely.
Yeah, just, you know, it was post-Titanic. We all knew that you started outside with the cutlery. So it was like, oh God, we could put as many forks down as we like. It was just so exciting. And then, yeah, so I have definitely always been a dinner party person, even like before it was age appropriate. So
right,
yeah, so like in uni I was the kind of person who was like, come for dinner, and then would have like eight people at a and people would be like, I don't know
we just sort of wanted to bring a vodka and
they did Coke. They'd like brought half a bottle of vodka or like six cans for themselves, and then we're like, why is there a starter? Are you wearing an apron? What's happening? Are we not going out after? I'm so full. I'm so full. Eating is cheating. I don't like it. No. So
you've got, they're expected to go to Oceania and you've got Trivial Pursuit in the middle of the table.
Yeah, I mean, if we even had time to get to that, I was probably still serving a sorbet. Like I was like, I don't, yeah, just waiting for the cheese course. No, I think way before it was age appropriate, and now it finally is, and we're not allowed to do them, but once we're allowed to have them again, yeah, I'm definitely a dinner party girl. And I love like a theme without it being overt, as in like just food wise like I like to pick a cuisine and go with it. And yeah,
what's your favorite cuisine?
I have the Dishoom cookbook and I love making Indian food. It's so good. Also, that book never fails and everyone's always very impressed. Although here's the problem with the Dishoom cookbook is that I personally think one of the great virtues of having a dinner party should be that when you're hungover the next day, you get to eat the leftovers. But people always eat the Dishoom food.
Ah, I see. And Indian is, I think I prefer Indian the next day.
Oh my God, it's amazing. But this, So now I've become the kind of woman who, when I'm cooking for a dinner party, just makes extra and just plates it for the next day. So I'll put it in the fridge. And I'm like, that's for hungover Catherine tomorrow.
Put it straight into Tupperware so it's got the real leftover feeling. Rip up a bit of naan bread and put that in there.
Some people are like, any left? I'm like, no. Sorry, glad you liked it. Well, portion control, am I right? So yes, an answer, very long-winded answer to your question. Yes, I'm a dinner party girl.
I imagine you'd be a good host. I think I'd be a good host, but I did the same thing as you when I was at university. Well, I'd get annoyed at my flatmates for having not done the washing up before people came over. I was like, the house has to be spotless.
Oh my God,
obviously. To be so ready for a party.
That gave me palpitations. Like, sorry, why would the washing up not be done? Why have we done prep if we don't want everything out of the way? It's not just a dinner party, it's an experience. And more's the point, they're going to look around the house. Do you want them to think we're filthy? I want to be able to relax. What are you talking about? Sorry, Jake, I have a lot of feelings about this. Oh my God.
I can remember being in my bedroom and hearing my housemate Nick complain to his girlfriend that I'd left a note for people to do the washing up. And I was like, it's my birthday and people are coming over. It has to be spotless. And then obviously that was when I realized that that's when I realized I was different.
If I'd been your housemate, I'd have been like, it doesn't have to be his birthday. If he used it, you clean it. What is the problem? No, it's not your birthday. You don't get the day off from cleaning up after yourself. What are you talking about? Oh my God, that's heinous.
Oh, Ambry.
Yeah, needless to say, I don't know if you have this, but where often one of the problems with me having a dinner party, because I do so much meticulous prep and it takes so long, and also the house has to be spotless, is that by the time the dinner party starts, I'm exhausted.
Yes, I can imagine, because you've got to the point of I'm prepared. You almost just want to sit back and just watch people just have a lovely evening and know that it was all your work.
Yeah, but also I need them to leave at like 10:30 because I've been working all day. I'm like, I've been up since 8, you gotta go. Or I get hammered because I'm so tired.
Well, this is your perfect dinner party, so it can be any time of the day you want. You can have a brunch.
Okay, maybe I could have like...
with last night's dishoom.
Yeah, but maybe I could have like a chef.
You can have a chef, of course.
I think that's my dream, is to be like wealthy enough that maybe I've paid someone to clean the house. Maybe I've paid someone to cook the dinner. Maybe, I mean, obviously I need some time to do it right after the cleaner's left. But most of the hot heavy lifting. Maybe I've gotten up at like 10 and gone for a run and just had a nice day.
Oh, lovely. Yeah. And just going out for dinner in your own living room.
Yeah. Bloody hell, imagine
that. Well, I don't want to put a bleak spin on this, but post-lockdown, a lot of restaurants would have shut down. So there'd be a lot of chefs looking for work. You could hire one for the night.
That is bleak. Yes. Fingers crossed. Fingers crossed.
Anyone's listening.
Yeah. I mean, I still think that you were thinking post-lockdown, I'll have more money than I think I will. That's all right. We've also been very much in an industry that has collapsed. But hey, sure. Yes. Let's imagine. Well, maybe in the future. But or second best case scenario, I've cleaned the house the day before. I don't have housemates. I've chosen a low-key dinner.
The face suggests that's not going to... That,
just not gonna happen. 3 courses. And maybe that would be fine.
I mean, already I can see you're literally wincing at the idea of this.
It would never... Okay, but yeah, I could try.
Catherine... So knock at the door, first guest of the evening.
Do I not have a doorbell?
Oh, sorry, do you have a doorbell? No one's ever complained. Oh, okay, you've got a doorbell.
Well, I won't hear every knock.
COVID times, do people want to press the doorbell? Maybe the knuckles against wood is better. Do you have a wooden door?
It'd be
extreme to have a metal one.
Yeah. I just live in an apartment block, so I wonder if... if I'd hear a knock on the external door.
You're passed out asleep on the sofa. I haven't been up since 6 a.m. preparing for this.
Okay, sorry. So the knock at the door.
So there's the buzzer. So do they have to buzz in? You've got one of those phones.
Yeah, so they buzz in. I'll let them in.
They buzzed in. They buzz. You let them in. They come up the stairs. You just done a last 30-second check. And now they've knocked at the door. It's your first guest of the evening. It's your alive guest.
Yeah, I can't believe it. Well, I need you to know that when she's coming up the stairs, I can't really breathe because she is an icon. And I can't believe she agreed to come here. And I have been, in some ways, to her house for dinner, but she won't have noticed because there were a lot of us. And when I say her house, I do mean Dolly World. And it's Dolly Parton. Oh my God, it's Dolly Parton. And I can't believe she's here. And it's so exciting. And oh my God, is she going to be able to get through the door? She has such big hair. It's such beautiful, big hair. She is. Oh my God, she's so nice. She's so modest. I can't believe she's here. Oh my God. I hope she likes my food. Woo! Breathe.
Wow.
In. Dolly.
Incredible. And she's vaccinated. You're vaccinated because of her.
Because of her. Oh my God. I love her.
Such an amazing choice. Second time she's come to a dinner party on the podcast.
Oh no.
And I don't want to stereotype the Irish comedians, but Joanne McNally.
No way! That's yeah. So funny. Because she's like, I mean, Irish people love country music and she is, and we love all things American, and we love big hair, we love a hoop, we love a strong lip. Oh my God. Like she is. She looks not unlike a lot of Irish grandmothers. And she's just, but also she just, I think that it makes sense that Irish people love her because her music is just pain. And that is our like colloquial, you know, go-to. And yeah, she's just a woman in pain with her veins open. And I love her.
And which we discussed, I discussed with Joanne that she wrote 9 to 5 and Jolene on the same day.
She's unbelievable. She's unbelievable.
She's incredible.
And she writes them so fast. And I mean, her capacity for like modesty when she is essentially the world's greatest songwriter. Like I watched her in an interview talking about I Will Always Love You, covered by Whitney Houston, and she was talking about how like when she heard the cover she had to pull over and wept and was just so astounded that she'd done this service to her music and that it was so like so much better than her version, and she couldn't believe it could like make her feel those things. And it's like,
wow,
lady, like yes, Whitney Houston's version is incredible, and yes, when you listen to them they're both beautiful versions, but it is it's like an escalation of like having listened to the Dolly version so many times, I wouldn't have necessarily heard Whitney's had I not, you know, in that if I was listening to it for the first time. My point is she's just so modest and joyous and joyful, and I love her so much, and she must never die.
And I'm similar to that. When I watch Mock the Week and watch a comedian deliver a joke that I wrote for them, I sometimes just have to lean back on the sofa and just be like, look at this, they took my words and they put their spin on it, and I'm so proud of them and proud of me.
You have to pull over your car and be like, I didn't even know it could be said sarcastically.
Oh, it's a lovely choice. Have you, and I don't know, I'm obviously a fan of hers, I know she's got the podcast Dolly Parton's America. Have you seen her live?
No, I wish I had seen her live. It's my very much on my to-do list pretty much as soon as this is over. I hope I get to see her live if she ever tours again. But I adore her, and I, like I say, I went to Dolly World with my family when we were in Florida when I was a teenager. Much of my insistence. She wasn't there, but we had a great time. I used to have all of her songs on cassettes that I kept in one of my dad's old briefcases.
Amazing.
Wow, I sound old. And I love her so much. And also she's just like a queer icon and such a nice lady.
And managed to stay so relevant.
But you know, that doesn't surprise me because actually I think she didn't just do that. I think she's always been ahead of her time.
Oh.
And that's why she's got remained relevant. Like, you know, she was singing about like domestic abuse and abortion and women's rights, decades ago.
I misunderstood her songs.
No, it's just that they're not like her chart toppers.
Oh, right. I thought maybe the clinic was open 9 to 5. And...
It's about Planned Parenthood. No. But like, she's just phenomenal. And I think, but even 9 to 5, like a fun little ditty, but that she wrote in an afternoon when she was on set filming it. But it is also about capitalism and like, and the death of people's dreams and in an endeavor to conform and like survive.
Oh, if you don't sort of, I think up until maybe 3 or 4 years ago, I'd only ever listened to that song at a wedding or in the cheese room of a nightclub. But when you actually listen to the words, it's phenomenal. It tells a full story. In fact, it was only early 2018 that I discovered that that's also a film. I didn't even know it was a film. I was that ignorant, and I apologise to Dolly and to you as a fan.
And to Jane Fonda.
And to Jane Fonda. I still haven't watched it. I believe it came out in 1985. Is that right?
Oh my gosh, before we were born.
But no, I haven't even bothered to watch it. I didn't even know she wrote that on set.
So she
was filming that film, writing that song, whilst her husband was having some sort of flirtation with Jolene. She had so much going on in her life. 85 was a real big year for Dolly.
Yeah, a huge year.
Here she is close to 36 years later, and she's just saving the world.
Yeah. And not just yes, I think we're all like, oh my gosh, with COVID, she's been so present, but also just quietly providing books for children in her state and other states across the US. For a long time, she's had these mobile libraries and provided books for kids all over her state. And you're like, you're just
That's lovely.
Cool lady. Yeah.
Oh, that's so nice. Annoyingly, what I was trying to do there was think of another one of her songs to make a library joke, but the best I could do again was the library's open 9 to 5. It's just a repeat of the same joke. And it's slightly lighter take than the abortion clinic, but...
Sure, but the thing is that she's like... The reason I really like Dolly as a comedian is she's hilarious, and she had this sort of, like... ethos where you tell the joke before they can. You say say what they're thinking about you beforehand so that you own it and then you can disrupt it. That's always been her. So like, she knows, she makes like her song, and her songs are like funny and do exactly that. So like, is it Dumb Blonde? Is that what one of them's called? And it's like a bit like, she does a lot of that taking ownership of how she looks and how she's perceived, and she did that a lot when she was younger on chat shows.
Oh.
And it was basically like, yes, I know what you're thinking, and then she'd be smart and impressive and funny, and these male hosts would be like, oh,
what can they do? Incredible.
Yeah. Okay, so Dolly's here and I'm very pleased. She doesn't seem like a big eater.
Not a big eater, but a big drinker.
I hope so. She seems like a whiskey kind of girl.
Oh, yes. Are you a whiskey girl?
Not really, but I would join Dolly for a bourbon if that's what she wanted, or anything. If she wanted something peaty and smoky, I'd drink it with her, sure, whatever she wants.
I thought maybe, I realised what I did there. I was going to say, I thought you'd be a whiskey drinker, and realised what I've done is just realised that Irish whiskey is a thing and just sort of lazily put it together.
No, it's okay. Yeah. People always assume I drink Guinness or whiskey, and I drink neither. In the way that like most English people don't exclusively drink cider.
I can't do Guinness. I did the in 2013 I did the Guinness tour, thinking this might make me like Guinness, and then it did not make me like Guinness. It just made me know more about Guinness.
A lovely tour. What a nice view from the top of the building. And they made nice champagne and Guinness cocktail that I could drink half of, and was like, huh.
You could drink the champagne half.
Yeah, and then I moved on. Yeah, I was like, thank you.
Thank you. We're supposed to make these together? No, it's fine. It's fine.
Yeah, it's all right. We'll just have this.
There's another buzzer followed by some walk up some stairs. Are you upstairs?
Yeah. I mean, I feel bad that she has to go up the stairs by herself. I'll go down and get her. You know, it's really interesting having this guest here because usually when I have a dinner party, this is whose music I play. So it's Etta James.
Do I know Etta James' songs and not Etta James' name?
Very likely that you do know Etta James' songs and not Etta James's.
No.
She sang I'd Rather Go Blind. It's my favorite of her songs.
Can you give us a rendition?
No, or Tell Mama, or At Last. You all know At Last.
Oh, At Last. There we go.
Yeah.
At Last,
yeah.
A song
I
know.
What would you know? I was like, you all know. I was like, if you don't know, At Last, everyone knows At Last. Yes. So that's Etta James. And she's like my happy music. I listen to her. And I mean, she's also another like pain focused lady when it comes to music. But I listen to her when I cook usually. So if I'm having a dinner party, I'll usually listen to her while I cook and then have her on. And she's very relaxing. And yeah, I love her music. So God, I've only picked musicians. Interesting.
Oh, is that a clue for who the third one is? Or not, we'll see.
No, it's actually not, sorry.
are people going to hate me for not having known this lady? I feel like...
No.
Actually, since you said it, I knew the name. Oh, I've Googled her. Oh, she doesn't look how I thought she'd look.
I think people get Ella Fitzgerald and Etta James confused. Maybe because they're like... like jazz and of a certain era, so maybe there's that. But
right.
I adore her, and I don't think it's that unusual. Not, I think it's okay to not know her. Also, like anybody who gets annoyed about anyone being like, I can't believe you don't know this musician that I know. I'm like, oh, just shut up! Like you're not teenagers. You didn't invent them. Like give over. Like no, come on. I just think get a personality. You know, like. It's fine if you don't know her, but do have a listen to her because I think you'd like her and she's really relaxing and she has a beautiful voice and she just is like, I'd Rather Go Blind is like vengeful and pain laden and is like, I would literally rather lose my sight than see you with another woman. And like, oh God. And she does it in the most like dreamy, soothing, like, unbelievable tones, and she's amazing. Or like she has another song that's basically like, oh yeah, you're all enjoying this wedding, cool, well for me, for them the wedding's starting, you know, their life's starting together, for me my life is over. And you're like, yes, oh yes. She's just drama, 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 and I love it.
That's a lot of story to tell in a song.
She's not dissimilar to Dolly, which is why I think they'll get on this evening.
Would they have met? Would they have moved in similar circles?
Oh my God, I'd love if they've met. I'd love it. They have such different voices. Etta is like deep, soulful, and Dolly is that like high register and like vibrato sort of like, but they both sing such similar things, which is like storytelling, as you've just said.
The one song I forgot to mention of Dolly's earlier and last time she was mentioned on the podcast is Island in the Stream.
It's a banger.
It's incredible.
Such a banger. She has so many songs where you're like, she wrote this?
Yeah, right.
You're just like, oh, she's written them all.
Yeah, because I honestly, when you mentioned the was it Celine Dion?
Oh, the Whitney song.
Whitney song, sorry, the Whitney song. I didn't realise she'd written that. I didn't know.
But that's what I'm saying, is I spent half the time listening to her music going, this was her.
Ah. Huh.
And the Whitney song, you could even listen to that version by, like the original by Dolly, and they don't sound similar. Like, it's a different... you know, what Whitney's version did is, and I think what Dolly spoke to is like, oh, wow, you took that a whole different direction and up a thousand notches. And she's an incredible songwriter.
Oh, wow. And still going. And still then, because you said you haven't seen her live. She's still touring.
I hope so. I mean, I think she still does live shows. She must do live shows.
Yeah.
What if I ask nicely?
I feel like I've gone back to Dolly and trampled over Etta James. And
it's okay.
We mustn't disrespect Etta.
No, we really mustn't, because she's unbelievable.
It's so nice on this podcast, because you're right. You know, the way people go, I can't believe you haven't heard of this person, or you have to see this film, or blah, 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 or you haven't seen it, and they get sort of annoyed. I feel like people should enjoy more saying, here is a film that you will enjoy, or here is a singer that you will enjoy that you may not have explored yet. And it's so I'm taking them away going, amazing. Tom Allen mentioned a book about the Buddha of Suburbia. So I went and rented that from the library.
Nice.
Yeah. Not
oh,
Dolly's,
Dolly
but,
would be so proud of you for using the library, though. But Etta James is fascinating because on the one hand, she was this like glamorous soul, R&B, jazz musician, and her music is so timeless. But she had, and like, she's so well respected, you know, even now, but she had such a difficult life. Like, she had drug issues and legal issues, and I'm pretty sure a horrible marriage.
Oh, blimey.
And she, so I think she was addicted to heroin. Yeah, like really, really big time pain. And then, yeah, she went to prison. She was arrested for heroin possession. And what? Okay, I'm now just Googling her. So her husband accepted responsibility when they were both arrested for heroin possession and served a 10-year prison sentence. Yes, yeah, she was arrested in 1974 for heroin possession, and was sent to a drug treatment instead of prison, but then became addicted to methadone. I mean, just horrendous.
Amy.
But then when she was 50, she got treatment again.
Oh.
So does seem to have gotten for dependency on painkillers. Anywho, I'm not doing her justice because she was not just a person who was addicted to drugs. She was a phenomenal musician, and I think that you would like her music. And if you haven't heard her music, I think that she then made like, so she had all of that, those issues. And then I think in the 80s, released 7-Year Itch, which is one of my favorite albums. And it's like her comeback album. And she's just, oh, she's just amazing. And she's so, oh, she really like, you know, when you listen to music and it makes you feel both lighter and like takes you to a different place. Like she just, yeah. Anyway, sorry. What a rant. The point is,
no,
I think her and Dolly will have a lovely time sat beside each other. And listen, now that I've done that research, I might probably just check if Etta's drinking these days before I do a whip around with the whiskies. And, but my God, I think those two are going to have a lot to talk about. They're the kind of two, actually, though, now that I think of it, they're a little bit of an obnoxious pair to sit together, because it might be that you're trying to have a good chat and by the end of the evening, they've punched out a song.
Right. Alternatively, you're absolutely shattered from organising the dinner party. You can just go and relax on the sofa and them two are going to be perfectly fine.
Oh, that's a good point. But at the same time, like, is there anything worse, even if they're musicians, than like a jam sesh at a dinner party?
Oh my God. If you've got a guitar, get rid of that, honestly.
Yeah. But Dolly doesn't even need a guitar. She has, what do you call
an
it?
App.
Like, no, she's written songs to like, just like to her nails on a phone.
Oh
like
God.
She uses the acrylics to just, if she needs to. So, you know, like between the pair of them, they probably both have long nails and they're so glamorous.
You're going to have to go. There's a weird thing with this dinner party. It's to shoom food, but you all have to wear boxing gloves.
I guess I could make an exception for Etta and Dolly to jam out, but I don't think the neighbours will be thrilled. So listen, that's my two so far.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Well, perfect timing. Just as they're about to start jamming, they're interrupted by the buzzer going again. There's another knock at the door. It's the third guest of the evening. It's your fictional choice.
Yes.
people have said the hardest to pick.
Oh, really?
But I guess, did you find that easy?
I just thought, you know, who would have a nice time with these people? Who do I think would add to it?
So hopefully not a musician.
Not a musician. She's not a musician. She is another glamorous woman who I think probably has tried drugs, probably like understands how long it takes for Dolly to get ready, probably loves Etta's music, loves Dolly's music, would just be delighted to be there. I think, you know, the other two are high stakes. I just wanted somebody who'd just be pleased to be invited. So fictional character played by Jennifer Coolidge of Legally Blonde fame.
Oh.
The manicurist from that film, whose character name is Paulette Bonafonte, I think, or Bonafonte. Do you know her?
No. So,
the Bend and Snap lady.
I've seen Legally Blonde once, and I know it's got a bit of a cult following it, and it should actually be rewatched, and I should re-enjoy this film. Okay, right. That's not even ringing a bell, but she looks like she's going to get on very well with Dolly and Etta. So this is the actress.
Nothing. Yeah.
I'm just keep getting photos of Jennifer Coolidge. She's very, she looks like she was the mum in American Pie. Was she in American Pie?
I'll check.
She is. Right.
Definitely's mum.
Yeah, okay, great. So she has a style. People will now be able to picture her if they don't have as Paulette. Paulette from Legally Blonde, was it?
Paulette, yeah.
Paulette.
So Paulette did Reese Witherspoon's nails, and she has like a really horrible boyfriend and a crush on the mail delivery guy. And Reese Witherspoon's character teaches her the bend and snap, where you draw attention to your buttocks by bending over and then snapping back, at which point you draw attention to your lady boobies. And then, don't know why they had to be lady boobies, but you know.
In case men are listening, it does not work for you.
Yeah. And then, I just think she's got like a really soothing energy. She'd be delighted to be on a night out with the girls. She, I think she has a lot of pain. And I think Etta and Dolly can help her work through that.
But the connection... connecting theme for the three of them is that they all seem to be in pain, Catherine.
Oh, and I think they all wear a long acrylic.
Yeah.
And big hair, high hair.
Yeah, are you going to go for this look for the evening?
Do you know, I feel like in an ode to them, I would quite happily have higher hair and longer nails, but...
trying to cook.
Yeah, and... you know, I want to be myself, and I,
good.
You know, should any of them make a move, you know, I wouldn't have a bed in the room like you would, but I want to be ready. I don't have to take off acrylics, you know what I mean? So, there's not a woman in that bunch that I would turn down, by the way.
And is there a woman in that bunch that is of that persuasion?
Not that I know.
He says in the most white male way you could ask that question.
of the lesbian persuasion. No, I don't know. But also, they're all very creative women. Come on. I've at least thought about it. You can but dream. I can dream. Pick three women you'd be willing to be married to and then go from there.
I hate to do this for you, to you on the podcast, but I'm now going to have to ask for you to choose just one that you would have if you could. If one of them was to make a move on you. Parton, James, or Coolidge, who are we going with?
Oh, that is so tricky. That's so tricky. I think...
I want the audience to know that we currently have head in hands.
Oh, it's so hard! It's because I think my heart says Etta, my head says Dolly, and... the teenage boy in me says, Pauletta. So it's like, what do I do here? I'm going to go Etta James. Just because I think I would love to see her with a stable home. I think that like
she deserves
to be taken care of and to be shown that somebody loves her as much as she loves, because my God, that woman loves in the most strong way. But also it's really hard for me to turn down Dolly. Oh my God. Oh, I'm sticking with Etta.
You're sticking with Etta. And it's such a lovely part of your character to suggest that what I offered you was a one night stand and what you offered her was protection and love and care.
Lesbian, why? Why? Oh God, I'm so, yeah, okay, fair. Mm-hmm. What a twat.
Now we've got quick fire questions to suggest what your dinner party might be like. Now, because you are such a good guest, because you give so much detail, some of these questions you've already basically answered.
Okay, I'll go quick fire. I understand what you're saying.
You've sort of covered some of it, is what I meant. Right. Beer or wine?
Wine.
Whiskey or gin?
For my own preference, gin.
Meat or vegan?
Vegan.
Starter or dessert?
What the fuck kind of host has to choose? What?
I don't know what the situation would be, but they've not got enough. I don't know what the situation would be there, but basically just do you prefer starters or dessert?
I'm a good host. I said this at the top, I thought.
Yeah, you got both. Sorry. And there's sort of...
I only apologise.
Disdain for the question. Or the mere suggestion that she would not have the required food to supply both. Absolutely, that question...
So offensive.
Gone, a line through that one. Yeah. Moving on. Scared to ask the next one. Music or games?
Music.
Okay, but fully aware she also has games provided.
Yeah.
Culture or politics?
Culture.
Nice. Signature dish. I find that really hard to say.
Lemon meringue pie.
So that's definitely dessert. Lemon meringue pie, lovely. Very, what would that be described as? Tart, the taste? What would that be?
It's tart. It's quite a tart.
Tart.
Mm-hmm. It's a tart.
It's lovely. So we've got wine, gin, vegan, starter and dessert, music, culture, and followed off by definitely dessert. We've also had the starter, lemon meringue pie.
Yeah.
It's lovely. And we've got
a nice evening.
A lot of acrylic.
Yeah, so many acrylic nails.
But you've actually gone with music over games. So you're going to allow them some music going on. Because if you're playing music, if you play Trivial Pursuit or Kaplunk, they're going to be distracted from music. But if you play the music, I guess maybe that would channel it and get it out of the way. Just a bit of karaoke.
Oh, I just think we should listen to somebody else's music, though. Like, they don't.
Oh, God. How do you think that's going to go down?
If I just pop on Ella Fitzgerald and go, she's my favorite. I don't know what to tell you. Just the soundtrack to Legally Blonde the musical.
Right. We will now go over my guesses for who I chose.
Okay.
This is no pressure for you to substitute any of your choices. You've chosen who you've chosen. This is just, I did a bit of research and who I thought you would have. Okay, this is how I perceive you.
Oh God.
Alive. Nigel Farage. No, right, okay. Alive. Michelle Wolf.
I completely think that's a reasonable guess. I adore her. I'm such a big fan. I love her comedy and I want to be her when I grow up.
Catherine, what is it about American stand-ups that just, why are they so much more untouchable? Okay, apart from the fact that they're 5,000 miles away, why are they sort of put up on a more of a pedestal than we do with our own?
I'm not sure. I think they have they do something very different to what we do, which is that Americans start with huge stage personas, huge confidence, no apologies. I'm learning, but I'm not learning how to be on stage. Like I feel like I've been at open mics in New York and just seeing people like walk on, like they don't give a shit about the audience. They're not here for you. They're here to speak some truths, tell some jokes.
Yes.
And like small to them looks scared. Small to them looks apologetic. Small to them looks less than confident. So everyone, even the like weirdo, cutesy, quirky ones, is like, what up?
Yeah, like, I am a star.
Yeah.
This is rock and roll.
Yeah.
Even if my whole thing is I'm a wallflower.
Oh, totally.
I'm the most rock and roll wallflower you've ever seen. I'm rock and wallflower.
The wallflower comes out like, I'm really weird, guys. And you're like, whoa. Whereas like with us, we come out like, right, obviously I'm new, so I'll just earn this for a bit. And then when I get a bit better, I'll kind of be like, do you want to hear a joke that I think's pretty good? And then if I get really pro, I'll be like, no, stop it. And that's the whole trajectory. So it's so limiting.
So look at any of theirs and it's so much more, they are like, we're here to do a job. And we're just like, I'm really sorry, I'm going to interrupt you for 20 minutes with a couple of jokes.
Yep. Oh, did you like it? Thanks. Sometimes you get lucky, don't you? Sometimes you get lucky.
I'm sure someone else could have thought about that before me, but I've just done it. It's so great. Yep, there we go.
Yeah, thrilled you like. Thanks very much. So that's our own bad.
That's it. And Michelle Wolf. Phenomenal.
Oh my God, she's unbelievable. She's unbelievable. I saw her twice, two very significant times. One, I saw her do what became her Netflix special at like 1 a.m. at Melbourne Comedy Festival.
Oh.
And the room was full of comics and she gave a fucking masterclass in how to do stand-up. And it was like everyone was sat on the actual edge of their seats. Like,
incredible.
Unbelievable. And then the other time, so that was like she had everyone in the palm of her hand and she absolutely reveled in it, enjoyed it, and was like worth all of the adoration. And then another time was in Dublin. She was headlining a festival I was doing there, and Irish people didn't have a fucking clue who she was.
No.
On the whole, people were like, who? So the tent was full because there were big names on the bill, but then this American came out to headline, and Irish people started off being like, oh no, why are you American? So, you know, there's like this, like, don't tell us that you're related to us. Don't want to know if you're from here.
Just do your job. We don't want that connection that Americans seem to love with the Irish.
Yeah, just like, just tell. And she didn't do any of that. And she came out and was like, so, like, I watched her. She took her jacket off at one point. Like, that's how much she was working for it. Like, I could see her being like,
wow. Huh?
And she got them. Yeah. Because she's amazing. And it didn't take
her. Yeah, I was going to say, she got them.
I could see her headlining this gig, knowing that she's like so internationally famous, absolutely loving having to convince this field full of Irish people that she was the shit. And I was like, but that is the right attitude. I was like, that's why you're amazing. Cause you're like, yes.
Cause we would have been, I'm going to leave you now. Thank you very much. Sorry about that.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. You don't like me already? Oh, then my God, sorry. And she was like, oh, okay.
And dead. Similar vein, Joan Rivers.
Oh, good choice. Yeah, good choice. Joan Rivers is like my first comedy influence.
Ah. I'll be honest, I didn't find anything online that suggested that. I just thought she is somebody who I thought you'd maybe have some questions for.
I have loads of questions for her. I think she's she was an amazing stand-up, and some questionable views on Palestine, but I don't think I'd open with those. I adore her, and I she was the first female stand-up I saw, and I was like,
oh.
And she was obviously shocking and horrendous. I'm like, huh?
Yeah.
And astounding. That's a really good shout. I would love to have her for dinner.
And as a guest. Sounded like you were going to be a guest.
I said it would be vegan. Yeah.
Fictional. I went with Joe from Little Women.
Oh my God, I prefer all your choices. I'm like, this dinner party sounds amazing, except I need to insist upon it being Joe from Little Women as played by Winona Ryder and not Saoirse Ronan.
Not Saoirse Ronan, fine, great.
Not that Saoirse's not great, but the specific scripting of the, yeah. Well, I mean, obviously the OG is the literary Joe, but given we have to manifest her in bodily form, I would like it in Winona's version, please. Yeah, I love your choices.
So again, with Jake, no points, but A for effort.
Yeah, a really good for effort, like A+.
We've got the toughest part of the podcast. We now have to choose one of your three choices to go through to the ultimate dinner party. We've got it down to, what was it? Pauletta Doolidge, Coolidge.
No, that's her fake name and her real surname. It's Bonafonte, I believe is how you say it. So but I don't think it's going to be her. I'm sorry.
No, with all respect to her, if she's listening.
Yeah, she's so cool, but no. I think ultimate dinner party, like, obviously at that point I'd be married to Etta, so we'd be hosting together.
Love where this is going.
You know what I mean? So yeah. I guess we'd pick Dolly.
I am so happy you did that, because I was, as we were doing the podcast, I was thinking, did Joanne and I, what did we do? In the end, just so you know, I don't know. I believe the reason for not shafting but not choosing Dolly Parton was she might come up again. We actually ended up choosing. She chose Jonathan Creek.
Oh, for Dolly Parton.
Now we can get you two back on and you can argue this out. I don't know how we justified not having Dolly, but I was glad that we did not have to do this for the second time, because I can see how that hurt you.
No.
I feel like if you knew this before you'd come on, you wouldn't have come on. We're going Dolly Parton.
Yes, we are.
Perfect choice.
Thanks.
Catherine, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me. It was fun.
You looked confused, like you were really worried what I was going to say then.
I know. I was like, for a second I thought you were like going to be like, there's another knock at the door. I was like, I don't want to have anybody else. I was like, how long does this podcast record for? I have to go. I gotta go, Jake. I gotta go. Oh my God, this, no. Okay, sorry. Yes, I've had a lovely time. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. And you're Giggless. Will Giggless continue?
Yeah, definitely. So if anybody doesn't know, it's an online gig that I run every week on a Thursday. And look, in reality, it doesn't seem to me like we're going to be getting back to live gigs anytime before June. So I'll certainly keep it up until then. It's been going almost a year now, so why not carry on? And
festival this month,
end of March 20th and 21st, we're doing 2 days of hour-long previews for 10 comedians doing new material, new shows, and maybe I'll do another one closer to the summer.
Lovely.
And it's a really nice gig where what has been lovely about it, because it's obviously all comedians I love and admire doing new material, what has been really heartening about it is people keep asking me like, oh, do you think after lockdown, everyone's just going to be talking about the same thing? Like everyone's just going to be talking about lockdown and COVID. And if the 100 odd comics I've seen do new material over the past 8 months is anything to go by. No, like, we are imaginative, funny, wonderful people, and I've just every week been blown away by everyone's capacity to keep writing jokes during a really horrible time, and I'm really excited for everybody's new stuff.
I didn't even think of that. That's such a good point, that you obviously you get to see everybody still going, so you get to see that that is not the case.
It's really not, and people are like, yes, some people are acknowledging what's happening, but in totally like unique ways and with different attitudes and different approaches. And also, like, people have loads of stuff going on, and also clowns are silly and weird and wonderful. And I've been really, like, weirdly, not to be patronizing, but like quite proud of all the comics because I've been like, you know, it's hard at the minute to keep being like creative or, you know, make people laugh. And everyone's doing really well. You were wonderful when you were on it, and as has everyone else been. You. So I think I'm excited for people's new stuff.
Well, thank you for doing it, and well done for doing it.
Thanks. Gotta keep busy.
So that was Catherine. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you agreed with our choices. Please remember to rate and subscribe and like and tell your friends. And as always, I'll be back next week with another episode. Bye.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real frank discussions, talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics, all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.